League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
You are now listening to the Calcio Corner Podcast with your host, Raffaele.
What's good? This is indeed the Calcio Corner Podcast. We cover all corners of Italian football and more. My name is Raffaele. I thank you for taking the time to listen to this, the 93rd episode of the Calcio Corner Podcast. Please be sure to subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, and Audioboom. Be sure to give me a follow on X. My account is at Italiano Calcio. Check the link on my X profile for all the links that you need to support and listen to my podcast. So it's definitely been a little while. I haven't recorded one since Italy crashed out of Euro 2024, which was an absolute debacle and something I don't want to touch upon really ever again. I've had quite a few people, which puts a smile on my face, reach out to me on social media and ask me, you know, when am I going to record another episode of the podcast? And they, you know, they miss me recording it. And, you know, as I tell people, it's definitely a lot more work for anyone who's ever recorded a podcast. And, you know, doing the recording, the editing by yourself, it's not impossible. It's not like it's hard work, but it's tedious work and it's time consuming. And sometimes it's hard to find that time and put myself down there to want to always record and edit it. I enjoy the recording part. The editing part is a little bit annoying, but I decided to return, do another episode, 93rd already, which is just crazy. I thank everybody for all the support. And again, the people that have been reaching out on social media asking me to bring back the podcast and record a new episode. So what better time than, you know, at the start of the Serie A season. And that's where we'll kick off this 93rd episode of the podcast by talking about the opening round of the new Serie A season. Kind of crazy that it's here. Here we are in you know, middle August. September's right around the corner. And Serie A is back at the same time. I mentioned the Euro earlier. It's kind of crazy that the Euro at this point already ended a little over a month ago. And, you know, obviously Italy's Euro ended a little bit earlier than the whole competition ended, which is sad. But here we go on to more positive things. Again, Serie A, new start of the season, always a special time. If you haven't seen already on my X account, the other day, I did tweet out my predictions for the Serie A table. As I said on there, it's really difficult to predict or make predictions. I'm not saying that I shouldn't say this. If there are some earth-shattering transfers, whether it's players bought or sold, it certainly could influence where you position predict a team to finish the season. But it's always kind of tricky to predict certain teams, where they're going to finish when, you know, the season starts and yet there's still like a week or two left in the summer mercato and teams can make moves, whether, again, it's bringing in players or losing key players. And again, I'll get to the opening round of Serie A, but when you hear some of the rumors that like Atalanta could lose a Lookman, kind of most of the summer, you never really heard a move of him linked away to the team. And now all of a sudden, with a few days left in the mercato, Lookman could be on his way out. Coop Miners, I mean, we've known about those rumors and him being linked to Juventus for a long time. It seems like that will finally happen. So there are still some teams that could be losing significant players. And at the same time, a team like Napoli could be, you know, working. They are working to bring in Lukaku. And if they get Lukaku, that certainly changes how you may look at the team. There's a couple other guys, Billy Gilmore from Brighton, they're looking to bring in. Davi Neres, he's finally landed in Naples. As the time I'm recording, this seems like he completed his medical. My guess is tomorrow, and by tomorrow, I mean Tuesday, August 20th. I'm recording this Monday, August 19th. That move could be official. So there's still plenty of moves teams can make over these final days of the mercato. So it does make it a little hard to predict the table exactly where you think teams will finish. But again, if you want to check that out on my X account, I tweeted that out last week, I believe on Friday. If you haven't checked it out, I did pick Inter to win the Scudetto. I've picked them honestly the last 3 years, maybe even four, but definitely the last 3 years to win the Scudetto. They finally proved me right last season, I should say. I think they're, even though, again, we'll get into it with what we saw so far in the opening round, but I think they're the best team again. They literally had really no changes to the team. They lost no one of significance. They brought in a couple of nice pieces. There's some things to not worry about, but you want to make sure that the players still have that same level of hunger. And majority of the players do, but you want to make sure that everybody still has that same level of hunger and desire to want to win, because once you win, that feeling is amazing. But, you know, certain players could kind of come off that high and be like, you know, I already won, or you know, we've done that. We'll just snap our fingers and do it again. And players that have that mentality, it certainly leads to, you know, not winning that second title in a row, not winning back-to-back Scudetti. Just as Napoli last season, 2 years ago, they won the Scudetto. Last season had one of the worst seasons that they could have imagined, finishing 10th place and just an absolute debacle. So yeah, if you don't keep that hunger, I'm not saying that's the only reason why Napoli didn't win the Scudetto last year or have a good follow-up season, but if you don't keep that hunger, if you get complacent, if you feel like you've reached the top, so you're just going to stay there, you're going to get a rude awakening. So as long as Inter doesn't have that issue, they're hands down the team to beat. So yeah, I picked them to win the Scudetto, but I've danced around it a long time. We will get into the opening round of Serie A. We'll start with some of the positives we saw. We'll start with Juventus. They just won, again, as I'm recording this on Monday, they just won a little earlier, beating Serie A newcomers Como 3-0 in Turin. Really good performance from Thiago Motta's side. A lot of Juventus fans certainly excited that Allegri's out, that Thiago Motta's in. He brings a fresh, exciting, progressive, modern style of football to this team, something very opposite of what Allegri was doing with Juventus, and a lot of Juventus fans were complaining about. Definitely saw a lot of trademarks and a lot of staples of what Thiago Motta wants his team to do. Certainly, Juventus is far from a finished product. They're obviously, as I mentioned, still looking to bring in some players like Akup Meiners, like possibly Nico Gonzalez from Fiorentina. So there's still moves they would like to make. So even they're admitting that they're not necessarily a finished product, but definitely for a first game, they looked really good, got some good goal contributions from some unlikely players. Mbengula, he scored the opening goal for Juventus, a player that came from their Juve Next Gen team. So they've done a really good job at turning out talent, and perhaps Samuel Mbengula is the next good young player that they've turned out. But again, he's provided the opening goal. Timothy Weah, the U.S. international, scoring in the opening game of the season, his first goal ever in Serie A. He didn't score one last year. And Andrea Cambiaso with a stoppage time goal. So really, a lot of positives to take away from that game if you're a Juventus fan, and certainly you got to be feeling good. You won 3-0, especially on a round of opening round of games where we saw some of the big teams stutter and slip up against lower level competition. But at the same time, not to throw rain on the Juventus parade, it was Como. They're certainly far from the best team in Serie A. I don't even necessarily put them at a mid-range team in Serie A. I know there's quite a few people that I've seen on social media with predictions. They're high on Como. They do think it's a team that maybe could finish as high as 12th, 13th, something like that. I don't see it. I know they do have some big name players, you know, from a historical or recent standpoint, guys like Pepe Reina, Rafael Varane, Andrea Belotti, guys like that. But for me, I think this is actually a team that's going to be battling off relegation. I think I actually did. I'd have to look back myself. I think I did pick them to, no, I didn't pick them to get relegated, but I actually did pick them to finish near relegation, either maybe 17th or 16th, somewhere like that. So I think they're going to be in a relegation battle. I think they're going to be worse than what I think quite a few people have been picking them to do this season. I think a lot of people kind of drinking the Kool-Aid or hyped up by the ownership group, by Cesc Fabregas as the coach. They made a couple of cool signings, like I said, with Varane and Pepe Reina, things like that. But for me, I think they're going to really struggle this season. I don't see them as a very complete team. But again, I'm not taking anything away from Juventus, but I would like to see this Thiago Motta Juventus facing one of the better teams in Serie A. Not necessarily the best in Inter, but give me a better team. Even if it's someone like a Bologna, a Fiorentina, someone like that, even Torino, who, you know, gave everything they had against Milan. Let me see you face one of those teams. And then we can maybe make some better assessments on just how good this Juventus team could be in year one under Thiago Motta. But again, you can only play who's on your schedule. First game was Como. Juventus took care of business, got some goals again from some unlikely goal scoring players. So they'll certainly take that. The Juventus fans were very happy with that result. Another positive, I would say, was Atalanta beating Lecce. Atalanta coming into this game banged up. We obviously know they've been without Scamacca. He got injured in training. Giorgio Scalvini got hurt last season, so he's out for a couple months. Nicola Zaniolo's been battling a little bit of an injury. I mentioned Lukman and Koop Miners. They both missed this game. Were not called up due to potential transfers in these final few days of the Mercato. So Gasperini, he really had his hands kind of tied a bit in terms of who he had available to him. But it didn't stop Atalanta from winning 4-0 against Lecce. And Lecce, they're a pretty solid team. They maybe don't have the flashy names or many name players, big name players at all that, you know, maybe a casual fan is going to know. But collectively, they're a solid team. They're stingy. That trip down south, especially from Bergamo, where Atalanta's coming from, all the way down south to Lecce, to the Via del Mare, that stadium, it's a tough environment. It's a tough atmosphere. It's a long trip, again, coming from Bergamo all the way down south. So they really handled that well. Matteo Retegi, two debut goals with Atalanta. Marco Brescianini with two goals as well. Funny story with him, he was literally, it seemed like a foregone conclusion, going to sign with Napoli just last week. Then the potential deal that was going to, Napoli was going to send Kayuste to, I believe it was Brentford in the Premier League. That deal collapsed last second. And because they weren't able to secure a place to send Kayuste, they were not able to close the deal with Frosinone for Brescianini. Atalanta swoops in, seals that deal in like 2 seconds. They got themselves a pretty good midfield talent. He scores two goals, or Teggy scores two goals in their Serie A debut with Atalanta. So we've seen this time and time again. I was even doubting Atalanta in this game a little bit coming into it on paper. I was kind of saying, again, long trip down south, tough opponent, stingy team. You know, first game of the season on the road. They just had to play in the UEFA Super Cup against Real Madrid. Even though they looked pretty good against Real Madrid, they held their own despite losing that game. I said, you know, this is maybe a game, first game of the season, long trip, like I said, down south. Maybe they end up drawing in this game, or I could see them getting popped and losing on a late goal, 1-0. So I was kind of talking myself into thinking Lecce could get a positive result here. And again, it's silly on me, silly on many people that thought the same thing, because we've seen Atalanta do this time and time again under Gasperini. Doesn't matter what player's available, what player's sold, what player's injured, or whatever the case may be. He could plug in, it seems like, almost any other player and get the results, get what he needs done, have his team well-organized, well-prepared, put them in a good position to come away with a win and come away with all 3 points. And that's exactly what this team did. No Coop Miners, no problem. No Lukman, no problem. No Giorgio Scalvini, no problem. No Scamacca, no problem. No LB Lautarore, no problem. Plug in Retegi, who by no means is a slouch. Obviously, he's a good striker. He had some good positive moments last season with Genoa's first year in Serie A. Brescianini, solid player again in the midfield. Plug him in, get the results you need. That's what Atalanta's kind of been doing since Gasperini kind of took over. So, again, they look really good out the gate this Serie A season. Another team, Lazio. I put it out on social media as well. For me, they're one of the more intriguing teams to follow this season. Certainly, I put them a peg below the, I would say, like the top 7-8 teams. I'm not saying these teams are necessarily in any order, but you got Juve, you got Inter, you got Milan, you got Napoli, you got Roma, you got Atalanta, you got Fiorentina, and you got Lazio. So I go with those 8 teams are the teams that I most likely see finishing somewhere 1-8 in the Serie A season. Lazio, to me, is perhaps the biggest wild card, or one of the biggest wild cards out of those 8, because they lost some key players. Chiro Immobile certainly didn't have the season last year that he's had over his tenure with Lazio, and even back to his days with Torino. Certainly you were seeing a bit of a drop-off with him, and injuries and different factors also contributed towards that. But they lost a couple other players like Pedro, and obviously Milinkovic-Savic going back 2 years, so Felipe Anderson as well. So it's definitely a different Lazio team than what we've kind of become accustomed to over the past couple of seasons. They still have some good pieces. Tati Castellanos, they brought in some players, Bulia Dia from Salernitana, although he did not feature in this game. They brought in some pieces. I think they're still a solid team. Again, I forget where I picked them to finish, maybe 7th, maybe 8th. I see them somewhere in that range. But if you know, we come fast forward to the end of the season and we see them finish 5th, 4th, would I be totally shocked? No, I'd be a little surprised, but I wouldn't be totally shocked. They're just such a wild card team to me. Marco Baroni, older coach, first time getting to coach a bigger club. It was an interesting hire. I thought that maybe Lazio would swing a little higher than Marco Baroni, and that's not to disrespect him. He's a good coach. He's plenty of experience coaching in Serie A, coaching in Serie B. Most of his experience, though, in Serie A is coaching some of those lower teams that are typically fighting off relegation, not trying to push for, you know, a European spot, ideally a Champions League spot if you're a Lazio fan. So there's really a lot of intrigue around this team. And, you know, they got hit in the mouth early. Venezia, who I think is the worst team in Serie A this season, and I think will finish last. I think they are a deadlock. If there's any team, I could kind of make a case for most of the teams in Serie A that you figure will be in the relegation battle to why I could see them staying up. Venezia is a team that I just can't fathom making an argument to say that this is why they could beat the drop, why they'll avoid relegation. I think Venezia is a lock to go down. Opening few minutes in Rome, you know, at the Stadio Olimpico, facing Lazio on the road. First time back in Serie A, first game. Venezia pops them for a quick goal. I'm thinking, oh, man, this could be a nightmare result for Lazio. This is a game where they got to get 3 points, right? Like, you got to start the season with 3 points at home against Venezia. Lazio, well composed, didn't falter over that opening goal from Venezia. They kept what they wanted to. They stuck to the game plan. Ended up getting the 3-1 win. I thought it was a great start for Marco Baroni, because I'm sure there's even plenty of Lazio fans out there that when Baroni got hired, kind of scratched their head and were kind of disappointed and maybe had a lot of doubt coming into this season with him as their coach. And again, only one game against what I think is the worst team in Serie A, or will be the worst team in Serie A this season. But they got the result. They got the 3-1 win. So really positive from them. So again, those are some of the real positives I wanted to highlight. Juventus, Atalanta, Lazio, all taking care of business. Flip into some of the negatives. I'll get to what my biggest negative is, and everybody knows where this one's going. But I look at Milan. They drew 2-2 against Torino, and the fact that they came back and scored those two real late goals near stoppage time, in stoppage time, to earn a draw at home against Torino, a lot of people will say was a positive. You kind of, the stadium, the San Siro, was really fired up in those final few minutes when they're equalizing and or cut the game to 2-1 and then found the equalizer to make it 2-2, and we're cheering them on, trying to see if they could find that winning goal against Torino. So you maybe walked away if you caught the end of that game and felt very positive from a Milan standpoint, but at the same time, certainly it was anything but that. It definitely, if you're a Milan fan, I'm sure you have some questions about Paolo Fonseca. Similar to Marco Baroni, when Fonseca was hired, you kind of probably weren't totally enamored with that hire, and this first game kind of leaves you still questioning it and not fully maybe buying in yet. Torino are a good side. I put it out on social media. They always seem to be a pretty solid side, a good side. Sometimes they'll lay that stinker, no doubt, but they're certainly a team that is capable of beating anyone or at least earning a draw against anyone in this league. You have some really good players. Samueli Ricci, a good young player in the midfield. Duvan Zapata, veteran, experienced goal scorer who's proven that he could score goals in this league no matter what team he's playing for, whether it's Atalanta, whether it's Napoli, Udinese, whoever he's playing for, he's proven that he could score goals in this league. He's done it with Torino now, starting his second season with them as the new captain as well. So he has a little extra motivation, a little extra responsibility, and he scored a goal in that game. So Torino are not a side that certainly could be pushed over. You could be taken lightly. If you told me Torino would go to Milan and get a draw, I wouldn't have been shocked coming into that game. But at the same time, Milan, you know, you got to take care of business at home. And even if you drew against Torino, you wanted to look better in that draw. You didn't want to leave it to the final few minutes where everything just started to click and you looked like the team that people expect you to be. You want to see that from 90 minutes, for the full 90 minutes, from the first minute, not fall behind 2-0 against Torino and just narrowly eke out a draw. So it wasn't a great start for Milan. Again, to come back from two goals with the little time left that they did to earn a point certainly is a positive. But overall, when you look at that whole game start to finish for Milan, I look at that as a negative from this opening weekend. My biggest negative, and everybody knows where I'm going with this one, is obviously what Napoli did against Verona, losing 3-0. How on earth they lost that game 3-0 blows my mind. In the first half, those first 45 minutes, Napoli by no means played great in that first 45 minutes, but Verona essentially didn't show up. They didn't even try to move the ball forward over the, you know, midfield and even try to threaten Amoretti's goal. They were so content with just sitting back, keeping Napoli in the ball in front of them. Napoli created a few chances, but anything but an inspiring first half from Napoli. But if I said to you at halftime, okay, one team's going to win this game, no one even in their right mind, even the biggest, most delusional Verona fan, could have said to me at halftime, yeah, I think Verona's going to be the team that wins it if you give me a choice which team's going to win. Everyone would have picked Napoli. Cavara went down with a head injury. Maybe it was a combination of getting hit. When he was taking a shot on goal, he took a late cheap shot by Diego Coppola. He was also kind of, you could see, affected by the heat. Obviously, it's middle August. It's extremely hot right now in Italy. This is why they take their cooling breaks. This is why the games are all starting later. There's none of the early kickoffs because they don't want to play when the sun is that hot, the temperature is that hot. So he had to come off in that first half, which was certainly almost like a foreshadowing of what was to come in the second half. And Verona scored a goal pretty early in that second half. And as Antonio Conte said perfectly after the game in his post-game conference, he said, after we conceded that goal and fell behind 1-0, we melted like the snow in the sun. And he could not have been more right. I don't know what creeped into Napoli after conceding that goal. It's almost like deja vu of last season all over again, where there seems to be no confidence mentally from this team, no identity from this team. I likened it to what we saw from Italy in the Euro. And I said earlier in this podcast, I didn't want to talk about Italy at the Euro and their debacle. But here I am bringing the comparison again. Italy in that Euro, my biggest criticism from them, about them was, other than, as I mentioned back then when I did record that podcast of them exiting the Euro, other than Donnarumma and a little of Bastoni and a little of Calafiori, you almost saw no heart, no desire from that team. Almost just like going through the motion, just like, you know, whatever happens, happens. If we win, great. If we lose, who cares? That was kind of the mentality I saw for most of those Italy players in the Euro. And also, they seem to have no identity in that tournament, right? We talked about Spalletti changing formation, starting lineups. He seemed to have no identity either, and perhaps that's a reason why the team kind of played that way. With Conte, though, Conte has an identity. Conte knows what he wants from his team. He's not trying to, I shouldn't say he's not trying to figure things out. He is, to some extent, trying to figure out because he is at a new place. He's only had this team for one summer of training and, you know, different players coming back at different times due to their Euro or South America, Copa America tournament commitment. So they're all coming back at different times. He still doesn't have that striker situation figured out. So there certainly is reasons to believe why Antonio Conte and this Napoli team may not have a clear identity yet. But at the same time, you have to have a game plan. And your game plan, no matter what players you have out there, should be concrete. We should see some form of what Conte wanted this team to do. And I saw none of that with them. And that's the biggest disappointment for me, is when I see a team play with no identity, no knowledge of what they really want to do, or no understanding of what they want to do when they get the ball, when they defend, and little heart and little desire. Conte said it best. They melted like the snow in the sun after conceding that first goal. It was like, oh shucks, here we go again. What are we going to do? We can't come back from 1-0. It was almost like that mentality creeped into their head, end up conceding two more goals and losing 3-0. Complete and utter disaster. Literally about as bad a start as you could get for Napoli after last season. To start this season like that, you needed to come out like freaking, Ghostbusters or whatever the saying is, and you needed to put a beat down on Verona. You needed to win 3-0. You needed to implement your style, impose your will, and prove that, you know what, last season, it was a fluke. We're going to be a lot closer to that Scudetto team than we are the team that you saw last season. And after one game, if you're a Napoli fan, all you're thinking about is deja vu from last season. There was nothing, and I mean literally nothing, you saw in that game against Verona to make you at all believe that Napoli are going to turn this thing around from last season and have a productive season. Again, it is very much overreactionary takes, and it's only one game, and if a whole season was defined by one game, then why would we even follow the sport if one game literally defined the entire rest of the season? But when you just think about it, when you think about fans, a lot of times as fans, we're very irrational and emotional, and we let one little thing lead our mind onto these crazy trips and stuff like that. When you think about how pathetic last season was, and I was guilty of it too on social media constantly. Oh, don't worry, it's only two games, it's only three games, it's only four games, it's only five games, we'll turn this around, it's only six games. Hey, if Napoli could, you know, really put it together these last eight games, we can make a run at a champ. It was kind of delusional of me to kind of talk that way and think that way, but that's what kind of we as fans do. And coming into this season, obviously you got the hype of Antonio Conte. You bring in a stud defender like Buongiorno, who unfortunately wasn't available in this game due to injury. You do have your striker situation very much up in the air. Kvara had to leave in the first half with that injury, with dehydration, whatever it may be. I don't even know if Kvara stayed on that field and played that whole second half, if it would have changed the result. But the point is, when you take last season, you take the start of this season with this one game, there's zero reason for Napoli fans to be optimistic right now. Zero reason. They should all be yelling from the top of a mountain, pissed off with what's going on. They have to solve this striker situation. If Osimhen played, if they had Lukaku already on the team, I don't know if that would have changed the outcome. I doubt it, because you need all 11 men on that field to buy in. And if these players are, let's just say, being affected mentally from the, you know, the lack of a striker, from whatever transfer rumors are going on, then that's not a winning team. You have to be tough mentally. Sports is just as much mental as it is pure talent on the field. Pure talent is great. Pure talent will win you some games. Pure talent will shine at moments, but you need to have that mentality. You need to be in the right frame of mind. And you know what? I will take sometimes the more overconfident player with less talent than the more talented player with less confidence in a weak, fragile mental state. I truly value that mental strength and that mental toughness. And this Napoli team, we saw it last season. We see it in the opening game of this season. They do not epitomize anything close to mental toughness. Antonio Conte is a very tough guy. He's a very demanding coach. I think he's the right coach to turn this team around from a mental standpoint. And that should reflect with better play on the field. And I know that things don't just change over time. You can't just snap your fingers and fix things. But at the same time, this was just as bad a start as you could have had. Even if we drew 0-0 in this game, you could come away thinking more positive. And you know, if we created chances and we put a lot of shots on goal and we just couldn't break down the Verona defense, hit the post a few times, got a little unlucky, which we did. And Anguissa had a couple of shots. I think he hit the post definitely once, maybe twice. But if Anguissa is your biggest goal scoring threat and the only player really firing good shots on goal, that's a problem, right? That's a real big problem. And this Napoli team has a lot of work to do from a mental standpoint, from on field and tactics and believing in themselves and playing better team ball. There's a lot of work to do. Juan Jesus had about as bad a game as you could have in defense. And I definitely think once Buongiorno's healthy, inserted into our defense, they brought in Rafa Marin as well from Real Madrid. So once we kind of improve that defense, once Napoli improves that defense, my fandom is starting to show. Once Napoli improves defensively, they'll be all right. They'll be tighter in the back. They'll be more solid in the back, more organized in the back, and a little less likely to concede. Because some of these goals we conceded against Verona, again, I'm saying we. Some of these goals Napoli conceded against Verona were just an embarrassment and should not have happened. And if you're playing better defense, you don't concede those. Napoli need to really look in the mirror of these players. And I said a lot about it last season, and I hope it's not another season like this for Napoli and for their fans, because it's just going to be a brutal nightmare, and I don't even know if Conte could take it going through a season like what they had last year. So Napoli, undoubtedly, a lot of work to do in order to improve and again, be closer to that Scudetto winning team, because you do not want to be close to the team you were last season. You need to be much closer to that Scudetto winning team. All right, now on to Buy or Sell to cover some of the storylines and rumors that have been dominating the Italian media in the world of football. Number one, Buy or Sell It. Paulo Dybala should leave Roma. I'm going to sell this one. Now, I'm not one of these people that necessarily criticize a player when they decide to make a big money move, say, to Saudi Arabia, to the Middle East, like we've seen so many players leaving Europe or even South America, leaving anywhere, any of the more major continents when it comes to the sport and deciding to bolt to Saudi Arabia and take the big money move. I don't necessarily criticize them. I mean, how are you going to fault a player for wanting to make more money and maximize their value, especially if they're an older player? But even a young player, what does it really matter? You're trying to maximize the amount of money you could earn in your career. It's such a short time of your life that you're actually playing the sport and you have a chance to capitalize and really make money. So I don't criticize players for doing that. So I'm not selling it from that standpoint. I just think Paulo Dybala still has so much to give. He's so beloved at Roma. He's made a lot of money in his career. It's not like he hasn't earned a lot of money. Now, you could always earn more. No one's, again, I'm not going to criticize you for wanting to earn more, but I just think he has so much more to give. I would love to see him stay in Serie A. So selfishly, I want him to not make the move. And it seems to be a bit of a roller coaster, because last week, Gazzetta dello Sport were reporting that he turned down a big move, a big contract offer from a Saudi club. Then it was the next day that it seemed like it was inevitable that he was going to be sold, that he was going to make the move. In a matter of one day, it totally turned. And I think Roma fans, Serie A fans, everybody kind of felt that he was going to leave Roma, wasn't going to accept the big money. I think he was reportedly going to earn close to 80 million euro over 3 years, which is a hell of a lot of money. And again, how can you fault the guy for wanting to make that money? And then, you know, news kind of broke again, as I said earlier, as I'm recording this on August 19th. So depending on when you're listening to this, maybe it's all official what his decision is. Now the latest reports is that he's leaning towards staying with Roma and kind of, I guess, following his initial instinct, his initial gut feeling that he wanted to stay in Europe. He wanted to stay at Roma. He wanted to stay in Italy. And this is a good Roma side. This is an exciting Roma team. He's got some good friends on the team. Paredes, Mattia Sole, who they brought over from Juventus. So he's got a couple of his, you know, fellow Argentines on the team. He obviously has built a lot of great friendships with some of the other players on the team that he's been with Daniele De Rossi, obviously their coach. So there's plenty of reason for him to want to stay, for him to want to compete with this team, challenge for a Champions League spot, compete in the Europa League this upcoming season and try to win it. They've done a good job in coming close to that over the past couple seasons. So I definitely sell it that he should leave. I again, selfishly want to see him stay. He's a tremendous player. Makes a huge impact for this Roma team, and I think he has a lot more to give, and he could definitely help this Roma team. Without him, Roma would be a good team, and one that I do think could challenge for a top four spot, but I do have them just outside the top four. But certainly with Paulo Dybala, they're way more of a dangerous team. He's a difference maker. He's could provide that spark, provide that magic. As I said, Roma do have several other good players, but there's only one Paulo Dybala on that team. There's only one player that at any single moment on a free kick out of nothing, when the game is just in a sluggish moment, there's only really one player that you could really put your money on that could provide that magic and provide that moment of brilliance and that goal that Roma would need, and that's Paulo Dybala. So I definitely sell it. I think he should stay. I hope he stays. And again, the latest reports out of Italy at the time of this recording are that he is leaning towards staying. So we'll see what ultimately happens with Dybala's future in his tenure at Roma. Number two, buy to sell it. An Italian team should take a shot on signing Federico Chiesa. I will buy this one. I think quite a few Juventus fans are probably a little surprised that Thiago Motta doesn't seem to feel that Federico Chiesa is a good fit for his team or someone he wants to see Juventus retain. His contract does end at the end of the season, or I should say does expire at the end of the season. So Juventus, I guess, are running the risk of losing him for nothing if they decide to just keep him and not sign him to a new contract, because it seems like if he's not part of the plans, they're obviously not going to give him a new contract. So they'd rather sell him this summer and try to see what they could get for him, something rather than nothing. But yeah, I just think a lot of Juventus fans are definitely a bit baffled. Even non-Juventus fans have to be a bit baffled that Thiago Motta, this, you know, again, like as I said earlier, progressive, more modern thinking coach with the more possession attacking style football that he wants Juventus to play. You would think there's a spot for Chiesa. You would think Chiesa, Vlahovic, some of these, you know, offensive players that have perhaps underperformed a little bit under Allegri, and not necessarily all due to their fault, but due to the system and tactics that Allegri has had this team play over the past few years. You would kind of think that, you know, Chiesa is one of the players that could shine for Malta, could shine in this Juventus lineup. You know, he values wing play. Look at what Orsolini, he was already a pretty good player before Thiago Motta came, but Thiago Motta really helped Orsolini have a great season last year. So you could almost kind of say, well, why can't Chiesa kind of play that role or be that type of player that could really be a benefit to Juventus? So it is a bit surprising. And then at the same time, you read reports sometimes, you know, you early in the summer, Roma wanted him. They ended up getting Mattia Sole. I don't know if that totally precludes them from pursuing Chiesa. There's been rumors linking him to Napoli at one point this summer, and linking him to Milan, linking him to Inter. I mean, he's been linked to so many talented teams, but then the latest reporting kind of almost makes it sound like there is no solution in Italy. It doesn't seem like any talented team is really that dead set on trying to sign Chiesa, especially for around the 15 million, 12 to 15 million that's being reportedly asked for by Juventus. To me, that's not a bad price to take a shot on Chiesa. He is a good player. I just think it's been a multitude of reasons for why he hasn't necessarily been as productive as people would have expected when he made that move from Fiorentina to Juventus. But I think for 12 to 15 million, I would definitely take a shot on Chiesa if I was an Italian team. I know, as I said, his contract is expiring, so you have to be ready to commit a long-term contract to Chiesa, and perhaps that's what's given some pause and apprehension to the Italian teams. He's been linked to Barcelona, he's been linked to Bayern Munich, he's been linked to Manchester United. Seems to be linked to just about every team in the European continent. So it'd be interesting to see where he goes. I would absolutely hate for no team to want him and for him to just kind of rot the season away on the bench for Juventus and not really be used, not be really a big part of the team, training separately. That would just really suck to see happen to a player like Chiesa. It's crazy to think of the high he was on after that Euro 2020 season. Campaign, which was obviously played in 2021. He was the big difference maker for Italy. He was scoring the big goals. He was the big impact player and one of the key reasons why we won that tournament. And to see now, here we are, fast forward to 2024, to see where he is at his career, it's mind-blowing. But yeah, if I'm an Italian team, I take the risk on Chiesa. And I use that word risk not necessarily meaning it's actually like a risk. Technically, every signing is a risk, but I don't really view him as a risk. It's a low risk. I think he could be a very impactful player. He could really be a difference maker on the right team. You know, again, as I said, he's been linked to Inter. You can never have enough firepower. You're the favorites to win the Scudetto. Bring in a Chiesa. Bring in a player who's hungry to prove himself, that wants to win that title, wants to prove Juventus wrong, wants to prove all the naysayers wrong. Maybe a return to Florence, to Fiorentina, would be an interesting option. I don't know if they have any interest in bringing him back, but, you know, in a Raffaele Palladino team, he could be an interesting piece as well there. So I definitely think there's plenty of teams where he can make an impact in Italy. I would love to see him stay in Italy. It'll be interesting to see where he ends up. The last thing I want to see him end up doing is just staying at Juventus if he's not going to be a part of the team and just kind of rot and waste the season away. Even from an Italian national team standpoint, like, Chiesa is still a player that you at least figure is a very important player for us, and for him to waste a season just rotting away would be the absolute worst. So I hope it resolves itself for the best, whether it's he stays at Juventus and becomes a part of the team and a player that contributes to them this season, or he finds a new home, even if it's not in Italy. Obviously, I prefer him to stay in Italy, stay in Serie A, because I enjoy watching him play. So we'll see what happens with Chiesa and with his future. So that will do it for the 93rd episode of the Couch Corner Podcast. I hope you have enjoyed it. Once again, please be sure to subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, and Audioboom. Feel free to leave a rating and comment. That'd be greatly appreciated to help us grow. Feel free to spread the word of the Couch Corner Podcast to any friends or family members that you think would enjoy a Couch-centric podcast. And until next time, guys, ciao.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Calcio Corner Podcast with your host, Raffaele. If you've enjoyed this episode, please rate, review, and subscribe on your preferred podcast listening platform. We really appreciate that effort. Until next time.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep their trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.